Burma's parliament has convened amid a boycott by the party of pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi because of a dispute over the wording of MP's oath of office. Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy party want to swear to respect rather than safeguard the constitution, which they say is undemocratic. The discussion over the oath is taking place as European Union diplomats meet to decide whether to suspend sanctions against Burma. Mark Farminer of the Burma Campaign UK told us the government and the NLD want to see the issue resolved.
I think what this does do is throw the spotlight on the constitution that the military brought in 2008, which hasn't had much attention. I think that what's going on at the moment is likely to be smoothed over. I think a compromise will be found that will enable the NLD MPs to go into parliament. The NLD wants to go into parliament. The government, the military-backed government, is desperate for the NLD to be in that parliament to give it credibility. There just hasn't been time yet for them to find a solution, because the National League for Democracy, you know, it wants democracy, and the start of this so-called reform process was the bringing in of a new constitution, which came into force after the elections in November 2010, and this is a constitution drafted by the military, which gives the military power over every level of government and doesn't guarantee any democratic rights or human rights for the people. So it's impossible for the National League for Democracy to say they want to protect and safeguard that constitution. They want to change it. So this was the principle, one of the principles that they had that stopped them taking part in the general elections in 2010. The president agreed to change the party law, which was requiring the National League for Democracy as a party to protect this constitution if it registered. So that electoral law was changed now, which enabled the NLD to register as a party and compete in these by-elections. But the oath is still there for MPs when they enter parliament to protect that constitution, and that's something that, again, the NLD has to. So there will be an accommodation. One of the problems is that some experts are arguing that because this oath is sort of in, the MPs have to take that oath in, is in the constitution, it might mean that you need to actually change the constitution of Burma to actually be able to change the wording, and that requires more than 75% of the MPs in parliament to support that and a referendum technically. So obviously that would be a month-long process, so they've got to find some kind of way around this problem. But from what we hear from people in Burma, from the government side, they are keen to negotiate and find a solution. The NLD is as well. So it's probably just a question of time and doesn't represent any significant sort of problem in relation to the dialogue and process that has been taking place in the country.
For as long as I've been watching Burma and the prolonged, protracted crisis there, there have been, over the course of, 10, 15 years, a lot of false starts. And this is the first time that there's been a sort of a sustained movement in the general direction toward reform. Is this the NLD looking to keep that momentum? Can we expect more of the same in the future? Is this the sort of attitude that we're going to see? And how close does it come to what we might call a loyal opposition at this point?
I think it's a long way from a loyal opposition at this stage. I think what the NLD have made, and Aung San Suu Kyi have made, some big compromises already. They had previously said that they would not operate under this constitution, that this was a military constitution, that it wasn't democratic, and they would not operate under this constitution. They're now calculating that there are some people within the government who are willing to make some reforms, and so they've been willing to compromise to take part in the by-elections and to enter parliament, to come in under this military constitution and try and work within the military established systems to try and bring further change. So they've made a big compromise and a change in strategy there already. There will be issues like this that come along where, you know, they will be asked to commit to something which is simply unacceptable. So far, there have been solutions to those problems. There's been some accommodation on both sides. But I think when there is going to come a point where it will be potential problems, and that is when the NLD push for real constitutional change, which removes military power. And that's going to come, the point. But how far is this government willing to reform? Is it reforming because they want to develop the economy, they want to get sanctions lifted, but they'd rather be something like China, not a genuine democracy? Or are they really on the path to democracy? Most people in Burma are still quite cynical that they're genuine about wanting real democracy. So there will come a crunch point when you will see the National League for Democracy saying, now we need to see this actual change, and the military, with their veto in parliament and their veto above the government, will have to agree to it or block it, and that's when you're going to see the real problems. But that could come in years, not months. It could come after the 2015 election, when the NLD are likely to have a majority in parliament, and they use that majority to try and push for constitutional change. That's when the military will have to say yes or no, and that's when the real crunch point will be.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that there was any chance under this constitution for the NLD to gain a majority in parliament. I thought that there was a large number of seats that were reserved for the military. Is that because there are NLD supporters in the military? I mean, or did I just miss something?
The military have 25% of the seats in parliament reserved for serving soldiers. So, and it takes more than 75% of MPs to vote for constitutional change. So effectively, that gives the military a veto over any vote in parliament to make any constitutional changes which might threaten military power. So technically, the NLD could win 74-75% of the seats in parliament and still not be able to change the constitution to make it democratic. So it's likely, if there are elections held in 2015, then they are planned, and then you're not likely to see it as completely rigged as it was in 2010, but it's not going to be a free and fair election by any means. But what people calculate is what happened in 1990 is that even though the elections were not free and fair, the NLD won 82% of the vote, of the seats in Parliament, sorry. And what happened in the by-elections recently is, even though the by-elections weren't free and fair, their overwhelming support saw them come through. But you could end up in a situation in 2015 where even with a majority in parliament, they still might not be able to establish and run the government, and they still might not be able to make constitutional change because the military have these veto powers built in the constitution. So nothing can happen without the military agreeing to it. So it's all based on the goodwill of the military at the moment and how far they're willing to allow some changes in order to achieve their goals of getting more economic development for them, getting more military and more modernized military equipment is one of their goals as well.
Aung San Suu Kyi did come out recently talking positively about the proposition of relaxing international sanctions. Is this the time to be letting up the international pressure? And if so, how much, and in what ways? I mean, it doesn't seem like it's the either all or nothing alternative of either keeping everything in place or removing everything. It seems like a false alternative. But how do you guys see the international community's role in keeping up the pressure and also encouraging the trajectory toward change?
Well, EU foreign ministers are meeting today, and they will likely agree to suspending all of the EU sanctions on Burma except for the arms embargo. And it's an important difference between lifting and suspending. We think it's far too soon to be lifting the sanctions. Human rights abuses in Burma have actually increased in the past year. You haven't had any legal or constitutional change that reduces the power of the military. But Aung San Suu Kyi is keen to sort of encourage the reform process in Burma and to make positive goodwill gestures. So she has backed the EU suspending sanctions. It's likely they'll suspend them for 1 year, so in a year's time. They'll be having to make a decision about whether to reimpose them, lift them, or keep the suspension going, depending on the process in the country. So that way, the threat of sanctions is still being used as a sort of a spur, a pressure to promote further reform. But at the same time, a positive gesture rewarding the changes that have taken place so far. But I think there is one problem is that there is some positive changes in Burma, but there does seem to be a tendency to by governments to be talking up the positives and ignoring the negatives. So when you have attacks in an ethnic minority state in Burma and tens of thousands of refugees are forced to flee their homes, women are being raped, villages being destroyed, there is silence from the international community. But when they slightly relax internet censorship, when less than 5% of people in Burma even access the internet, you've got statements from global statespeople, welcoming this progressive change. So there is an overemphasis on the positives and ignoring some of the negatives. And there is an increasing suspicion that this is because there is a new gold rush with corporations lining up to get into Burma to exploit the natural resources and the cheap labor. And so to justify lifting sanctions, to justify allowing companies to go in, they have to sort of talk up the positives. And you saw when the British Prime Minister David Cameron went, business people did go with him, even though they were labelled as tourists. Even the British Prime Minister, one of the governments that's been strongest in supporting sanctions, took a business delegation to Burma.